Yeah, good. I haven't watched Question of Sport on BBC. I don't know if it's still on. Is it still on or they finished it? I did watch it many, many years ago, and the bit I always liked was what happened next. So they'd show a sporting clip and then they'd stop it and you have to say what happened next. And what I always said when I was watching it, a dog run on the pitch. But sometimes a dog did run on the pitch, other times it was something else. So often in scripture, we have a what happened next moment. And we have it in the upper room, don't we? We need to remember, though, that this is that first Easter day, the evening of the first Easter day. A moment that is between two worlds, between death and life, between the old world of Jesus' earthly life and the new life of his resurrected life. The disciples are there in that moment between two worlds, possibly in the same room where they had the Last Supper that time with Jesus. But there they are, and they're fearful, they're uncertain. They've locked themselves in. Their hearts and minds also perhaps are locked in as well. And there is Jesus. He's amongst them. There hasn't been a sort of flash and a bang and a wallop, anything like that. But there's Jesus, a presence in their midst. And what's going to happen next? What's he going to do? Remembering that they've not been the best disciples that money could buy by any means. They've deserted him, they've doubted him. They are not a very good bunch. What's going to happen next? What happens next is a big surprise because Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." A lovely greeting. A lovely greeting. And we might think of peace as being the absence of something, but in biblical terms, it's shalom, it's wholeness, it's salvation. All that you would wish for yourself and so much more. I think essentially to something that's open, an open future. We don't know what God's peace will be. It's being revealed, being poured out to those disciples in those simple words. Jesus is not accusing them, but he's enabling them and equipping them. And they're full of joy, they're overjoyed. They're overjoyed, they're surprised. How can this be? The presence of Jesus in their midst. And Jesus says again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And so often in Christian life, we get a gift, don't we? We get a gift. We get a gift of God's grace. We get a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think with every gift, there's a task, isn't there? It's the way it goes. And as Christians, we wouldn't want it any other way. Gift and task belong together. Peace with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And with that, he breathes on them. Marvelous, intimate moment, a private moment. Giving of the gift in camera, if you like, the Holy Spirit, which will be poured out on Pentecost. A vital moment, because the resurrection and the giving of the Spirit, in my understanding, is fused together. You can't separate the one from the other. Gift and task belong together, and so does the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And it's a reminder for us here today. And we'll explore more as we go on in this Easter journey that we're making together about the reality of the Holy Spirit and what that means. But here it is, given to Jesus' disciples, to his friends. And in giving the Spirit, the resurrected Christ forms the church. The church is all there. That's the task. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive the sins of any, they are retained. The business of the church is there, that awesome business of being God's people, of being together in the world, the responsibility, the task. It's there. But the task weighs lightly upon us because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of Jesus, his presence with us, in his midst, in our midst. He is with us now. We come to another what happens next moment, because we could just draw the passage to a close. I could stop speaking. But we have something more. We have Thomas. Not around. Not there for that occasion. And we get this lovely thing, don't we, that is so often in the resurrection appearances. We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. They've seen Jesus. But Thomas has questions. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and my hand into his side, I will not believe. What's going to happen next? Is Jesus going to tell him off? Take him to task? No. Just the same. A week later, Jesus with his disciples, peace be with you. And Thomas is there. And he offers Thomas the proof he needs. And the proof that we need as well. That the earthly Jesus and the resurrected Jesus are the same. He carries on his body the marks of his crucifixion. The marks of his death. They're not erased, but they are transfigured and transformed. He's there in their midst as the one who was betrayed, the one who was condemned unjustly and put to death in a cruel way. Those things have not gone away, but they have been taken up into the love of God and will be taken up into the eternity of God at the ascension. And Thomas is invited to reach out and touch. But he doesn't need to. He comes up with this great and amazing saying, "My Lord and my God." And we can say it very easily. It's read very easily, and we slide around it when we read it because we're so familiar with Scripture. But for an observant Jew, for a good and observant Jew, that was an astonishing thing to say. It's the thing that the Roman emperors wanted the citizens of the empire to say about themselves, and the Jews wouldn't, because they said it was blasphemous. And here's Thomas making that leap. We talk about doubting Thomas. I wouldn't want to talk in that way, but Thomas is, in a way, like us. He needs that assurance. He needs that grace, and he needs that love. And God in Christ offers it to him. Great affirmation comes from his lips. And that's our affirmation as well, that we can truly worship Jesus and enter into the reality of his resurrection. Because we know what occurred. We too have seen the marks of the crucifixion. We too understand that grim reality. And we too understand that Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has overcome sin and death. And we are blessed. Because we are the ones who believe, though we haven't seen. It's good to receive a blessing, isn't it, today? By believing and not seeing the proof that Thomas and the other disciples seen, we are blessed. And we can go out into the world. This encounter in the upper room reassures us. If we are frightened, God will come into our midst and lovingly reassure us. If we feel guilty and broken, God in Christ will come into our midst and give us new hope and new tasks. And if we are doubting and thoughtful, God will lovingly give us his truth. And that truth is quite simple, that Jesus, who died on the cross for us and for the whole world, by God's power, by his Spirit, is risen again. And he is with us. He goes with us wherever we are, however we are, into our joys, into our sadnesses, into the future, whatever it holds for each one of us. Amen.